It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Last week, the Trump administration announced plans to end Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. That's DACA. That grants legal protections to people who entered the U.S. illegally as children. Here's U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
To have a lawful system of immigration that serves the national interest, we cannot admit everyone who would like to come here. It's just that simple. That would be an open borders policy, and the American people have rightly rejected that.
DACA will remain in place for 6 months to give Congress time to enact a replacement policy, and that means about 800,000 people across the country who rely on this program, they're known as Dreamers, are now in legal limbo. One of them joins us now, and it's a name I really enjoy saying, Valentina Emilia Garcia Gonzalez. She moved with her family from Uruguay to Gwinnett County, Georgia, and she attends Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Hi, Valentina.
Hi there.
Although I'm tempted to basically say your entire name every time because I love saying that name. You moved here when you were six. Do you remember it?
I do. I remember, you know, I have a few selective memories of Uruguay, and I remember the plane ride. I remember getting off the plane. I remember seeing my dad after almost 4 months of not seeing him and how different it was from my country.
So there is going to be pushback immediately on this interview as we move forward with people saying, why start illegally? Why not go through the process legally as it's set forward? What's your answer to that?
I think what a lot of people don't understand is that the concept of legality and illegality when it comes to immigration is already set up rules. And so a lot of the time it comes down to privilege, right? In my country, we didn't have the privilege of even knowing how to come here legally and the legal ways of doing that. We were just very desperate to get out of a country. And my parents were very desperate to make sure that my brother and I were set up for success and for prosperity. So, you know, now I hear a lot of pushback and talking about like, well, you should have done it right. Your parents should have done it right. You know, it's a lot of talk about like, well, what is right? And if there is a way to do it legally, then why aren't there more legal immigrants, quote unquote, legal immigrants? And, you know, it comes back to the get in the line myth or get in the line excuse that people use. And there is no line. There is no concrete, easy, fast, legal way to become a citizen or a resident here.
But you have been here basically since you were in first grade. Do you consider yourself American?
Well, yes. I mean, besides being, you know, being born in a South American country, and that already grants me Americanness, you know, yes, I do consider myself American because I've fully assimilated into this country. I know more about this country, its history, its people, its culture, everything more so than Uruguay. You know, I like to think that Uruguay was like my birth country or like my birth mother that gave me up for adoption, and the United States took me with open arms and has given me everything.
So what changed for you? How different was it after Obama signed DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, as opposed to before?
I think that once DACA came about and I became a DACA recipient, the world opened up to me, right? It was very apparent to me, especially being in high school and seeing all my peers and all of my friends, being able to drive and do, I guess, the regular teen things, going out at night, doing, you know, driving. And then when it came to my senior year, applying to college, and I had to have a really rough conversation with my mother about being undocumented and what that meant for me. And that meant, you know, not being able to drive, not really going outside during certain times to not be caught by the police, changing my whole life and my whole life routine around just to avoid being seen and being known as an undocumented person. So once DACA did come about and Obama did sign that, I was able to work. I was able to help my parents and my family economically. I was able to get a license. But the thing is with DACA, as you know, thankful and as privileged as I am to be an undocumented person with DACA, what people don't understand is DACA is a very exploitative thing. The only thing that it grants me is a license and a work permit. It doesn't necessarily grant me a higher education, as is seen in Georgia, where undocumented students are banned from the top three universities now, where it used to be the top five, because of the Board of Regents Policy 416, and we are barred from financial aid because of Policy 434.
And it, DACA is expensive, too. You pay money to be part of that program. How much do you pay?
They just augmented it this past year or this year. I think we pay around $500 to $600 to file that. And plus, if we use an attorney to do that for us, it might be even more, like up to $1,000, $1,500.
So now that DACA has been or will be basically rescinded, what are you worried about?
Being at Dartmouth, I'm worried about my literal safety. And this is because I've had individual students and student organizations threaten to deport me. So that's a very big thing for me.
Your fellow students say they're going to have you deported?
So my freshman year, there was an incident where I got a message from an individual student that likened or kind of insinuated that if I ran for a student government position, that he could very easily call immigration. And then last year, after Trump got elected, a student organization on campus said that they could call ICE and have all the undocumented students deported at Dartmouth. And, you know, people didn't understand that that is a direct threat to our lives. And it was just very hard.
I can't imagine if you were deported back to Uruguay, what would you do? You were six when you left there.
Right. I think being my 15 years being in the United States, I've thought about it a lot. Going back, I've had dreams about it too, countless dreams about going back. But the thing is, I don't know anyone. I don't know anything. I've grown up in this country with just my parents and my siblings, you know. I have seen my friends go to their cousin's house, their grandparents' house, and my grandparents died while I have been in this country. I don't know where they're buried. I wasn't there for them when they died. If I were to go back to Uruguay, my whole family, the six of us, we'd be living in a shed with an outhouse with maybe electricity. My family and I have talked about this a lot. We don't have anywhere to go. And to liken that to where we live now, where we live in a house, where we have, you know, a dog, we have food in our fridge, we have all these privileges. And to go back to a country that I literally know nothing about would be just devastating.
That is Valentina Emilia Garcia Gonzalez. She is one of roughly 800,000 people who rely on the federal DACA program. Last week, President Trump announced plans to get rid of that program within 6 months. Valentina, thank you so much.
Thank you.